Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two counselors who are currently live. We have a live audience today, which is very intimidating.
Of our hardcore base, which is basically
we can name Macy's
dad, Paul, my sister, and my son, our hardcore followers. This is our experiment. We're trying it on a small level, and then I have an idea to take this really big. Do you want to hear my idea?
You've been waiting so long.
Go ahead. Literally 10 minutes. So I was thinking if we could find other area podcasters, we could do Spokane's first PodFest.
Ooh.
And like charge admission and have posters and like a lineup, and it'd be really cool.
That does sound really cool.
Yeah. So Spokane, stay posted. That might be coming. Spokane PodFest. I have that copyrighted.
Already?
I just said it. I think all you have to do is say it's copyrighted.
I don't actually think that's true.
It might be, though. I think it's a temporary. You have, like, a grace period.
Okay, good to know.
With the verbal copyright.
Is that true with trademarks, too?
I don't know if it works with trademarks, but I think copyrights.
Is it, like, dibsies? I got it.
It's sort of, yeah. It's, like, the three-second rule.
What if it already exists on the internet?
Intellectual property. No, I Googled it. There's no Spokane PodFest.
All right.
Yeah, it's ours. We own it. We're branding it.
Temporarily.
So there's an interesting story. This was supposed to celebrate our 21st episode. But when we went to record our 20th episode on Monday, we really couldn't because there was some kind of a fiasco. Would you like to share about the fiasco last weekend, Macy?
So we were in a tournament in Yakima, and at the end of the first day of the tournament, I started not feeling well. And actually, the quote that I said to Naomi Tari right after we skated the last bout was, "I feel like I'm either going to cry or vomit." But I was pretty casual about it and then went back to the hotel room. Everyone else went to the hot tub. I'm like, I think I need to sleep. And then I slept and then I was up all night. Horrible things happened to my body.
You should describe those horrible things.
Should I?
Yeah, so people can really get a good picture.
I was, you know, I was pretty, I had a lot of shame this weekend. Yes. We're
a lot closer now.
This is true.
We've shared a lot of bodily fluids now together.
So may as well. What was decided upon by the doctors was that I had a gastrointestinal virus that I caught most likely at the Sherry's. That's where I've pinpointed time-wise.
You triangulated it to the Sherry's?
Yeah, which makes the most sense as well for that's probably true.
Yeah, the ER doctor said that it was running rampant through Yakima and that half the ER rooms were filled up with people that were suffering just like you.
Yeah, and it was horrible. It was some of the worst like stomach pain I've ever felt. So like I couldn't actually even like be standing up. It would hit and I'd just crumble on the ground and like want to cry. Sometimes I did cry.
It was brutal. I felt bad for you.
And I'd get dizzy and nauseous and it was, yeah. And I was in the room with all like the young folk on the team who were really worried about me and had no idea what to do. So they're all, I remember at one point I'm on the ground curled up in a ball, just like making whining noises. And I look up and there are three of them sitting on the edge of the bed on their phones, like Wikipedia. Well, with stomach cramps, you need to do this. And they're like Googling like what to
do.
That's
adorable.
Because I'm dying. They were trying to take care of me so
hard. That's so cute. Oh.
Yeah. And so
18 and 19 year olds are precious.
Yeah. So I had very little sleep that night. And then the next day, you come in, you're like, well, if you feel better by 4, you can still bounce.
Well, at that point, we thought it was heat stroke, though.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought, with some hydration, you might turn things around and rally.
And it was dehydration on top of everything, too, which didn't help the cramp, the stomach cramping. Yeah, and I ended up throwing up outside of your car.
Yeah.
On myself.
For a while.
Outside of your car.
Quite a while. Right in front of someone's house.
Yeah, pretty loudly. It was bad.
It was the best.
For a while.
Yeah, it was for a while.
Because we were trying to go to a park because we got kicked out of the hotel because it was time for us to check out and they wouldn't extend it. And so we were like,
they were assholes at that hotel.
Yeah, like I'm dying. Can I just stay a little longer? And because I didn't want to go back to the warehouse that was 100 degree heat and have this problem with tons of people in two bathrooms. didn't sound appealing. Yeah. And then...
Well, I'm glad you survived.
Went to the ER on Sunday.
Yeah. And then I drove you home, so we left the tournament early. We had to stop every half hour. Every time there was a restroom, we stopped.
Every time, yeah. Actually, my favorite moment was in the ER when I had to go to the bathroom. They had just given me a bunch of IV fluids and had poked, because I was so dehydrated, they couldn't get my veins, so they kept, like, digging deeper and deeper, and it was painful. And all of a sudden, I got, like, I'm going to pass out. At the same time, my body went, you also have to go to the bathroom, and you're probably going to throw up. And so I started pressing the panic button on the nurse call, and she comes in, and she's like, well, you can't go to the bathroom, you'll fall down. And I shrugged at her and shook my head, like, what do you want me to do? Where would you like this, ma'am?
You like this shit to go?
Yeah, and then that was probably the third shaming moment where I had to, like, use one of those little portable commode, is that what it's called, thing?
I think.
Bedside commode things in front of her. And I was like, Tart, you can leave for this, please.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, like the Bridesmaids movie moment, yeah, where she's in the, like, street and she's like, it's happening, it's happening,
it's happening.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't stop it once it started either.
No. And I had no control of anything. That's
a one-way street.
Yeah. So there was absolutely no way I was gonna be here to record on Monday. I had to call in sick Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, so this is celebrating our 20th episode, which actually, that's cool. Yeah, you know,
it works out.
A couple decades. Mm-hmm. And our team ended up winning second.
Yeah, which
even though
is really nice.
We left, and you know, it was brutal. So they're true champions, and they deserve that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the trophy, by the way? Who took it?
Why would I? I went to the hospital and went home. I'd have no idea.
Oh, I thought you might have heard a word on the street.
No. Oh. Mm-mm. Sorry. Yeah. So that's also my check-in, because that's all I can remember in my life now.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
I'm gonna join in on that story because I was involved too. So.
Okay.
That was my check-in, too.
Good. Sounds good.
Yeah. I get to go first.
I know.
I like going first better, because then I can sit back and relax later. Okay. So you texted me earlier and asked if there was a chance that we would have the same topic today.
Yeah.
And I would be really surprised if we did.
So the reason I asked that, because I was thinking, like, well, maybe, like, if I did it on, like, the norovirus, which is what happened. And I was like, well, she might.
That'd be too obvious.
I know. And I was like, that's basically my check-in, so I can't do that.
Okay. So you told me if we have the same topic today. Mine is modern day cases of demonic possession and exorcism.
Dun, dun, dun. No.
Is that your topic?
No.
Okay. So I'm very excited about this topic. I watched a few documentaries. I read some things. I feel like I've learned a lot. I'm enlightened. So one documentary I saw focused on a modern day American exorcist named Father Vincent Lambert. And he said, there is a war being waged between good and evil. Faith in God will lead us in one direction, and lack of faith will lead us in another. Exorcism is the only cure for those who are truly demonically possessed.
And this is still happening?
Yep. This is modern. Modern day exorcism.
Hmm.
Did you want me to repeat my topic? Modern day cases of demonic possession and exorcism in America, I should add on.
So modern meaning like this year?
Like in the last, you know, yeah, like probably today going on.
Right now.
Right now.
Okay. Just checking.
So the narrator on the Vice documentary that I watched said the Catholic Church knows that most of these claims are, you know, bullshit, but they have to believe that there are demons, because if there's no demons, there's no devil. And if there's no devil, hence there's no God. So they have to hold on to this bit of supernatural. The Catholic Church teaches that evil is very real and it's personified in the person of the devil. Father Lambert says an exorcist must believe in evil, but not be easily fooled.
Do you think there was a demon in me this weekend?
Well, if so, it was exorcised into the commode.
For many several commodes. Days.
There was a trail of of demons from Yakima all the way to Spokane every 20 to 30 minutes. So there are about 50 modern day exorcists in America. There's an international association of exorcists who gather in Rome every year. And Rome is actually where they receive their training and become Vatican certified. So they get that stamp of approval.
So every Vatican has been trained in exorcism?
No, every exorcist that's legit has been trained in Rome and is Vatican certified.
Oh, it's okay. Certified by the
Vatican. Yeah, but they have like an exorcist con every year in Rome where all of them from around the world gather.
Is that what it's called?
Probably not. Okay. I'm probably making that up. I don't know what it's called, but that'd be a good name for it.
Do you want to trademark that?
Exorcon.
Copyright. Have our own.
Exorfest.
Exorfest.
Demonic possession occurs when one dabbles with evil. So actually, according to my research, us just even talking about this does sort of open us up to the potential for evil.
I don't want to be opened up anymore.
Well, just, you know, who was I talking about there should be like sphincter kegels to like strengthen the butthole muscles? It must not have been you. You're giving me a blank stare.
But I can't quite rule it out. But
I was talking to somebody about that.
I don't
that.
Know, Paul.
Just in the last couple of days, I was talking to somebody about that because I was talking about you and like, yeah, you know, once it starts.
Wait, can you not talk?
I have
talk
to.
Talk about sphincters and me with other people, please.
I was just talking about, you know, being proactive and trying in prevention.
Yeah, what? Yeah, sorry. Never mind. All right.
All right. An exorcist doesn't focus on the power of evil, but on the power of God at work. The goal is to deliver the person who is suffering from evil into the hands of God. Exorcists state true demonic possession is extremely rare. So they say 1 in 5,000 cases is a genuine case. Father Vincent Lambert has a phone screener assistant.
What?
Who like gets the calls and sort of triages them and only passes the ones on to him that she thinks might
is
rise to
trained?
That level. Well, she is probably trained as a demonic exorcist assistant.
Screener.
Administrator.
Okay.
Administrative assistant. I think that's what her training is.
Certification, probably.
Yeah. Many of the symptoms of mental illness and demonic possession are similar. So all sanctioned modern-day exorcists work closely with mental health professionals who evaluate the individual and determine if there is something about them that defies their understanding or training. They also, if you're working with a, you know, a legit exorcist, they'll have you get checked out medically as well, just to rule out anything like that.
So if you're not getting checked out, it might be like a back alley exorcism.
You don't want a back alley exorcist.
So I have to tell you,
make sure they're Vatican certified.
My dad
five stars on Yelp
to see the Exorcist movie way a long time ago when I was little.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
theater, and that was the like one of the scariest movies I ever saw. Like I had to put my feet up. I have a fern between my dad and I, so I can't see his face right now. But I'm only going to tell that much of the story, or else he'll correct me. Probably.
You guys are have you're a fern between two people instead of
yeah
between two ferns.
Yeah,
I love it. It's your own spin. Father Lambert says he has definitely seen things that defy everyday understanding, such as he saw somebody levitating once. He says that all of these manifestations are meant to be a distraction by the demon. Mm. So part of their training is to ignore that stuff and not get freaked out by it. Demonic possession of an object can also occur. Have you heard of Annabelle?
Yes, the movie Annabelle?
Well, the movie is loosely based on a true doll.
Oh, is that a true
which
thing?
Which was like a Raggedy Ann type doll that was said to be possessed by demons. And it lives now in the museum of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I think they're both passed away now, or one of them's passed away. But they were very famous paranormal researchers back in the day. Mm-hmm. And like the movie The Conjurings are based off of them. Did you see those?
Yes. I don't remember them, but
they're yeah, really good.
I'm sure I've seen it.
I enjoyed it. It was my level of scary, like not super scary, but like scary enough.
So like spooky?
like, you know, not super scary. Haunting. Just like makes you feel a little scared, but not like super scared. I mean, I didn't sleep for months after watching The Candyman. Like, that was way too scary for me.
I don't think I've seen The Candyman.
Don't. It's scary. And then you can't look in the mirror for like weeks. You can't like, you know, like brush your teeth in the mirror or anything.
But you can.
Well, not if you see The Candyman.
But The Candyman can.
All right, let's... It's actually based on... That urban legend is actually based on a real serial killer who worked in a candy factory and killed people. Killed little boys, I think. The oldest formalized rites of exorcism date back to 1614, but the code was revised in 1999, so recently. And I looked it up online. You can read it. And anybody can. It's on catholic.org.
Oh.
You can go through all the entire rites of exorcism is laid out in detail there. So an exorcist kit, you might say, includes a crucifix, some holy water, a Bible, and other holy items. It starts off with the exorcist tracing the signs of the cross over the individual who is possessed, over himself. I didn't read about any female exorcists, but they're probably out there. And any bystanders. And then the exorcist sprinkles everybody with holy water. After this, he kneels. And I learned a new word about the kneeling, but now I forgot it, but it's called like... Jenna something. Look her up, or it's out there. Jenna what? I thought it was like acacia it ended with.
I don't know.
Genuflection or something. Asher, look it up. Look her up. I think it's like genuflection, but I learned that new word that I already forgot.
Does that really mean you learned it?
Well, I read it, and it was briefly there, and then it went away.
You read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to learn new words.
You like to read new words.
So you start off with the Litany of Saints, which I was like, oh, what's a Litany of Saints? And then I looked, and it's actually just a really long list of saints. So it's a Litany of Saints, literally. Like, really long, like a foot long. It's a lot of scrolling. And then there's a whole bunch of prayers of deliverance. And exorcism is a spiritual battle. The exorcist must convince and compel the demon to leave the body of the afflicted individual. And so here's a very small excerpt of one of the prayers of deliverance. I adjure you, ancient serpent, by the judge of the living and the dead, by your creator, by the creator of the whole universe, by him who has the powers to consign you to hell, to depart forthwith in fear, along with your savage minions, from this servant of God. And they do things where they like touch him on certain parts of the face. There's pretty clear instructions. So the way it's depicted in the movies is actually pretty realistic. It's a lot of, because I watched some real footage of real exorcisms, and there's a lot of that, like, I compel you, demon, to leave this body. I compel you by the grace of God. I mean, you have to talk like that when you're...
It's very scary.
...doing a deliverance prayer.
By the way, thumbs up on your genuflection.
I was right. Yes.
Yeah?
Genuflection. Okay. So that's when you kneel, but like in a religious or sign of respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like when you're being knighted, perhaps. That might be genuflection. I'm not sure.
Sometimes that happens.
I just came up with that just now. I'm just talking shit now. I don't know. Father Gary Thomas, who's another pretty well-known and charismatic modern-day American exorcist, he's also Vatican approved, described some of the signs of demonic possession. There's an aversion to the sacred. So, for example, not wanting to enter a church or not wanting to look at holy things on the wall, like pictures of crucifix or something. Knowledge of hidden things, like you might know a language that they'd never learned. Speaking in tongues, you might say. Inordinate physical strength and loss of control of the body, which might look like epileptic seizures.
This is really me this weekend. All of it.
So you may have been possessed. You weren't speaking in tongues, though, were you?
That's making a lot of noises. I can't remember things.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did you have a knowledge of hidden things?
Always.
other things that may happen are strong stenches, foul stenches.
Okay. Yep.
Definitely. Check. Nailed it. Check. The temperature in the room can drop, and then there can be growling and snarling.
Yeah, some of that, definitely.
You're moaning and groaning.
Do you remember I was like, I don't know
oh
why.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
your
I don't
back was arching.
Well,
holy
I was like,
shit, you were possessed.
It's like, I don't know why, but when I put my arms behind my back and stretch, it makes it feel better.
You know, you were almost levitating in my car now that I think about it.
Now that you think about it.
Every time I needed to start looking for a rest stop, you were definitely levitating over in the passenger seat.
Yep.
Damn it. I need to get an exorcist to deliver my car from demonic possession.
Mm-hmm. Just have them wear gloves or they're going to have tummy problems.
So that classic demon-possessed voice that you hear in all the movies, I did see that in like almost every video I watch.
Are you gonna show us that?
It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's terrifying though.
Oh, I thought you were gonna just do it.
Well, I have to tell the story of whose voice first.
Okay.
Which is coming up right now.
Okay.
So The Exorcism of Emily Rose was a movie, and it was inspired by disturbing real life events of the exorcism of Annalise Michel, who lived in Germany. And so in 1969, when Annalise was 16, she experienced an episode where she felt pinned to her bed. Her medical doctor thought it might be a form of epilepsy. And then after another episode like this, she had a brain scan, which showed normal. And then she had a couple more episodes like this, where she was convulsing in the bed or felt like she was frozen in the bed. And so she was prescribed an anticonvulsant and an anti-seizure medication. After each episode, she had EEGs repeated, and they were all relatively normal. So there might have been some minor irregular patterns, but that's it. In 1973, she began hearing knocking sounds in her room and voices damning her to hell. Her eyes were said to have turned jet black, and in her photos, she does have really pretty pronounced raccoon eyes. Her hands were said to have turned into paws. So maybe raccoon eyes, raccoon paws to match. I don't know. She described visions of demon faces tormenting her and the aroma of burnt feces, which I don't know what that smells like. Others described that same smell at times around Annalise, and they described the smell as hellish, air quotes. After this event, Annalise went to see a priest and a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist diagnosed her as neurotic with possible epilepsy. Another neurologist thought she had epileptic patterns, so she was put on even stronger medication. But then things got really worse. Annalise began eating spiders and flies, sitting under the table and barking like a dog, urinating and defecating on the floor and licking her own urine off the floor. She destroyed rosaries and holy pictures from the walls of the family home and exhibited superhuman strength. It was said that she squeezed an apple with one hand until it exploded and like apple shards shot all over the room.
I feel like I could do that if I really wanted to.
Well, I would really like to see you try.
Did you bring an apple?
I feel like I have an apple at my house maybe in we can, like, film it right after this. So a father became, not her father, a father, big F, became convinced Annalise was possessed and an exorcism was formally approved by the church. But I don't know if at that time or in Germany they had those things where it has to be sussed out that it's definitely not a medical or a psychiatric emergency. So on September 24th in 1975, Father Renz performed the first exorcism rite, and some of the exorcism sessions were recorded. So there was 42 in total. And I'm going to play just a short audio of it, and it's very disturbing. So okay. To warn you and all of our listeners worldwide. Shout out, Estonia.
I
Oh, buffering.
Terrifying. This could be from this weekend.
Is that what you sounded like? You record
me in the bathroom?
So that actually wasn't Annalise. That was Macy in the Quality Inn bathroom.
Which was not quality, by the way.
I tried really hard to find audio without music also in it, but I had no luck, so that's why there's...
I tried to play music so the rest of the Derby girls wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night.
So that is pretty disturbing and terrifying, and it really makes me want to like immediately have a throat lozenge or something. Just
wait, why?
It just seems like she's got to have a sore throat.
No.
You know, it's a lot
I know,
of that.
I was thinking
for
like,
hours. I mean, 42 sessions of that. That's a lot. So in May 1976, Annalise began banging her head against the wall and stopped eating and drinking, and she was refusing medical treatment even though she had a fever. And then, sadly, by the next month, she died of starvation at the age of 22 after, 67 exorcisms. So different sources say a different number of exorcisms. I'm not sure which is right. And she weighed less than 70 pounds when she died.
So she wasn't on a feeding tube, she wasn't in medical care.
No, she was at home getting exorcisms.
But if she was starving to death, being monitored, obviously not monitored by medical professionals, she was...
Well, she had epilepsy medicine, so a medical professional was following her at least a little bit.
Yeah, but if she's having such severe levels, you think she'd be monitored on site somewhere, especially if she's at the point where she's not eating.
You'd think.
To die.
After her death, her parents and two priests were accused of negligent homicide.
Yeah.
An autopsy revealed she had a healthy brain with no damage, even on a microscopic level, that would cause seizures. So that's interesting.
However, I've worked with many people with non-epileptic seizures and have got them to stop with counseling.
Well, this was, I don't know how much they knew in the like early 70s. Mm-hmm. So the prosecution's case was she had epilepsy and psychosis, and nobody took action to save her life. On the defense, they said she had the right to refuse medical treatment, and there was no evidence of epilepsy.
Do they have on record that she was refusing medical treatment?
Or I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's the word that people said. So the final ruling was that Annalise was unable to make decisions for herself and should have been forced to submit to medical care. And those involved got probation.
Gravely disabled.
Yeah, so nowadays, if somebody was in that state, we could have...
involuntary detainment.
Yeah, have their rights taken away, have them evaluated for detainment, and they would be forced to have some treatment.
She probably wouldn't have died. Doesn't mean the demons would be out, but she probably wouldn't have died.
Yeah. So Father Gary Thomas said sometimes both possession and mental health issues exist side by side, and an exorcist must determine the root cause of the suffering. And then he reiterated what Father Lambert said, that the Catholic Church requires a medical and psychological examination before an exorcism is approved, and that exorcisms only happen as a last resort. So... yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people that went through it in modern times, and they said it saved them their lives. So, I mean, if it's not hurting anybody and it makes you feel better, I think, you know, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good that it's being kind of modern and sanctioned a little bit. But so I would say people out there, if you're seeking an exorcism, make sure they are those Vatican-approved ones that are at least trying to... do things that are safe. And that was my tale of exorcism. Did you learn something?
Yeah.
Genuflection. Was that the word?
We already lost it.
Genuflection.
Are you sure? Is it genuflection?
Genuflection. To genuflect is the verb.
I'm going to look it up. genuflection or genuflection, the act of bending at least one knee to the ground. From early times, it has been a gesture of deep respect for a superior. So one or two knees. Yeah, so they made her do genuflections over and over and over during the exorcisms, even though she was too weak to do them, and they would hold her up.
Sounds healthy.
Doing that.
Why didn't you do any of this for me this weekend?
What are you talking about? I pulled over when you had to puke.
You didn't make me do my genuflections?
I didn't realize you were possessed by a demon. Now I know.
It's too late now.
Next time I'll be in the hospital, I'll be shouting, demon,
exercise her.
Leave this person.
I should just be like, I'll sign the paper.
The power of God compels you. Leave. I'll give you prayers of deliverance. I'll do the litany of saints, which is long.
I'll give you the smells of hell.
Okay. That sounds like a good trade. See, a symbiotic relationship. We've talked about that before. That was another vocabulary word.
Good job.
All right, okay. I can sit back, drink my canned wine.
I have a quick question.
We have a question from the audience.
Is this the ghost house that's possessed, or is it your house that's possessed?
Oh.
It's
this one.
It's this one. The portal to hell did open
in the
closet.
Office.
Yeah, of our private practice office.
This one is the haunted building.
I get boards that are wandering around. I just want to know where I'm going to be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we boring you?
Oh, you just wait for my story.
Let's hear what you got.
So I'd like to say I spent the most amount of time researching for today because this really stressed me out for her last minute idea to do this live audience. And then
I'm enjoying it.
I didn't pick my topic until 10 minutes before I got here. However, I researched probably at least 50 different possible topics and went really deep into a lot of them and was like, no, that's not it. And then I picked something that I barely researched. So.
I hope some that seemed sort of good that you put them on a list like me, a smart list
that
you can refer to.
No, I hate your list and I'm never using a list.
My
ever.
List serves me well.
I'm never doing it. Every single thing I come up with, it's the same day.
All right, we have our own styles.
So I don't know if you've seen on Facebook or if any of you have seen on Facebook, there is a Facebook worldwide event in Nevada.
Oh my God.
For the
the
Area 51.
I have to interject here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Asher, my son who's sitting here, has been begging me to let him go to that.
How timely.
So I'm excited to talk about this one.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of things to say.
So, turns out there's something crazier than aliens. It's Facebook users. So this event got made on Facebook. It was initially made as a joke. And now there are over 1.3 million people who are saying that they're going to go, and there's 3.something million people who are interested, which that's interesting that
3.1 million and one more, because I just signed up to be interested so I could update Asher on the deets.
That fascinated me more than anything. The people who said going, I was like, oh, okay, sure. But the people who are interested is let me check my calendar to see if I'm going to go to Nevada.
Well, I said I was interested so things would update me so I could update Asher, who's really wants to go.
So in case you don't know what this is, it got posted on Facebook and really it just is let's go get them aliens out of Area 51. Let's storm Area 51. And it's become this huge
phenomenon. Phenomena.
I'm down to here on my rainbow can. I'm on the green now.
I think I'm at the green too.
How? You didn't drink at all during your podcast. When did you drink it?
Just now. Now that I can relax.
Oh, so mine settled in. I can't say big words. So it's at the Nevada testing site and training range. It's used by the United States Air Force. And potentially is the home to secrets. And that's what people want to know, is all the secrets that are there. Because there's very little that was known about it. It was only publicly acknowledged as a United States facility in 2013.
Well, supposedly, which isn't that long ago. The Roswell ship and aliens are there.
Supposedly, yeah. Supposedly. And there was a previous worker who had shared a while ago, actually, a long time ago.
Oh, right. I think I saw some of that.
Yeah. And he seemed very very casual about it, too. Like, he didn't really want to talk about it, but he shared that that there were testing some different things from extraterrestrial objects and things that they had there. So a lot of people think that this is... there are legitimate things they are hiding, at least.
That's a secret to people thinking you're legitimate, is to act like you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. So the date is, and apparently that's not true for this event, though. The date is set for September 20th. It's a Friday. And those million people that have RSVP'd are starting to get the attention of the U.S. military now. So really, the U.S. military said that...
they've made statements?
They've made a statement. Yeah, so what they have said was that, quote, "The United States Air Force is aware of the Facebook post. The Nevada Test and Training Range is an area where the Air Force tests and trains combat aircraft. As a matter of practice, we do not discuss the specific security measures, but any attempt to illegally access military installations or military training areas is dangerous."
Well, end quote. Yeah, and that was one of my concerns. I told my son, was, you don't think the military follows Facebook? They don't. You don't think they're gonna know that all these people are coming?
So they do. They publicly posted about it as well in response on their government website.
It's not going to be a surprise attack.
No, and Bud Light initially said, "We'd like to be the first brand to formally announce that we will not be sponsoring the Area 51 raid."
Boo.
Okay, but later it posted, "Screw it, free Bud Light to any alien that makes it out." So
they'll be giving one beer away. Nice job,
Budweiser. To the alien that makes it out?
Yeah.
You're saying one's going to get out? Just
what? Well, another thing.
Is that the one Asher's going to get?
I'm thinking Honey Bucket should be a sponsor.
Honey Bucket?
Good call. Another thing I told Asher when he asked me to go was, and I was expressing my concerns, was that if there are aliens there, I think they probably would have moved them out by now, knowing that, a million people.
I do not think the military is scared of a Facebook event, in my opinion. First of all, a million people are not going to show up.
Have you looked at the comments on that?
I have. They're hilarious.
I looked at them today for the first time. Yeah, there's some pretty funny ones. But did you see what their plan is?
Well, okay, so before you say what their plans are, because I've read a million different random quote-unquote plans, but the person who posted it said it's a joke, said that he's actually planning to have, music and, an art something there for when people arrive, to kind of have it, be a different kind of event when they get there. It's not an actual storming of the gates.
Well, the plan that I saw that got the most... attention,
likes, I'm sure, yeah,
was that they were going to do a Naruto run.
Yes, yeah.
And I had to look up what that's is a Naruto one.
That's in the description.
Yeah, so I had to look that up. My older son's into Naruto. I tried to call him to get some deets on that, but you kind of run as if you're a little kid with a cape on, but you might not even have a cape on.
And it said that if you go fast enough, you'll miss the bullets.
Yeah. So I guess they run pretty fast on Naruto. Yeah, Ash? Do they run fast on Naruto? Yeah, he doesn't know about Naruto. That's the other kid.
Oh, you mix them up like that?
No, Skylar, he used to have the Naruto headband that stuff. Yeah. Asher's more into basketball.
And aliens.
I think he just wants to be a part of something amazing.
That's fair.
But I told him there's probably going to be five people that show up.
I do think there'll be a chunk of people because it really has held momentum for a while now. And I do think they'll show up. I don't think they're going to storm or surprise the U.S. military by
any
means.
They might do a casual walk up to the fence.
Yeah. So the thing is that there's a gate. There's an initial gate All around the property, though, there's no actual fence. They have underground built-in, like, motion sensors. They have a lot of ways of detecting you. It's actually very heavily fortified, but it's not actually visible around the perimeter of Area 51.
That's so cool.
You know, very high-tech, which makes you like, ooh, there's so many things, and then you can't get in. But the Air Force's whole stance is we regularly test, like, our weaponry, our machinery, our aircraft there, so you could get hurt. There is just legitimate danger involved in wandering there.
Well, I think a bunch of people Naruto running are just not going to get past any security.
Probably not. So Area 51 is the common name of the facility located within the Nevada Test and Training Range, is actually what it's called. Officially, the facility is called the Homey Airport or Groom Lake.
Homey?
Homey. H-O-M-E-Y.
Like homies?
I mean, I would
assume. Like homie, don't you know me?
Sure.
Okay.
If you prefer. It's named after the salt flat situated next to the airfield. So it's actually, it's a dried up lake basically there. But it says it's an open training range and is most likely supports the development and testing of experimental aircraft and weapon systems based on historical evidence. In the USAF, USAF, acquired the site in 1955.
I think that's United States Air Force.
Yes. I can say USAF, can't I?
I don't think you can say USAF.
Why not?
I think that's a different thing.
UNICEF.
Okay, pipe down, peanut gallery.
See, we wouldn't have heard this until later. The United States Air Force acquired the site in 1955, primarily for the flight testing of the Lockheed U-2 aircraft.
See, if they weren't here, they would have been shouting at you.
That's okay.
Over the phone, like shouting at the podcast.
Did you see what instantly happened? My dad leaned over to Paul and went, "Let me tell you what was wrong with that." And Paul went, "Yeah, I know."
Thanks.
Your explanation what the U2 was.
I don't know what that is, and I'm not going to explain it to you.
U2, the band? What did you say? I wasn't listening.
Yes, it's a band, Dad.
Jeez. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
It's like high school all over again. Anyways, it's not about you guys right now.
All right. Next time we do this, we're going to put the audience farther away.
I'm going to blindfold them and stuff their mouths.
No Naruto running during the podcast.
So the base has never actually been declared a secret base, but all the research and occurrences in Area 51 are top secret and sensitive information. So the CIA publicly acknowledged the existence of the base for the first time, though, in June 2013. So they've had it for a very long time, but they haven't publicly recognized it until recently. It was, and it was only because following the Freedom of Information Act request filed in 2005 that they declassified some documents detailing the purpose of Area 51. So it's in the southern portion of Nevada, and if your son goes there, it's 83 miles north of Vegas.
He's doing a very disapproving head shake right now that he's being roped into this podcast and being talked about.
Including the small town of Rachel, which is nearby on the what's called the extraterrestrial highway that goes right up through there.
That's cute.
Yeah. And actually, there's a bunch of like shops and gift shops all around there that are very like UFO based.
If it was closer, I would take him. I just don't feel like driving all the way to the desert.
To have not much happen.
If it was within like 3 hours, I would totally drive him so he could be a part of something historical.
Yeah.
Nobody asked. Nobody asked you.
So I found out on my notes about 18 hours of driving. So Groom Lake is...
Nobody told you to bring 2 bottles of wine here, by the way. We said 1 can.
That is very... We said this isn't a counseling session, Paul. Keep your alcohol to yourself.
Yeah. Shh. Zip it.
Groom Lake is Salt Lake. Okay. Nobody shared during her portion. Nobody sharing during my portion. So the Groom Lake is the salt flats in Nevada used for runways of the Nellis bombing. Or is that just
the demon speaking?
I will cut you off as well, woman. All right. Are you done?
I'm done.
So the origin of the name is unclear. It is believed to be from an Atomic Energy Commission numbering grid. So pretty boring origin. It's not like 51 came from something really unique. It's just like a numbering grid. There was lead and silver discovered in the southern part of the Groom Range. One thing I did find really interesting when I was like researching the area, there were workers there who had to bury highly toxic chemicals for the government. And they ended up having like liver and kidney problems because of it. And they had high levels of these different chemicals in their systems. And so they tried to sue to get compensation for healthcare because of that. And the U.S. government and the Air Force was able to make everything classified, say that having expert witnesses, anything like that would endanger the U.S. government. And so they were able to seal everything and the people never were, it was dropped in court. So like people medically were kind of turned away just because of
that. That reminds me of the people that were trying to sue about Hanford.
Yeah.
That it was really tough to even get it to court.
Yeah, exactly. So Project Oxcart is a program that was started in 1959 for anti-radar studies, aerodynamic structural tests, and engineering designs. Was part of the Lockheed A-12 plane that was made. And this included testing at Groom Lake, which had inadequate facilities consisting of buildings with only 150 people, 5,000-foot asphalt runway, limited fuel, hangar, and shop space. Groom Lake had received the name Area 51 when the A-12 test facility construction began in 1960, and they started replacing the runway. So it's been getting bigger and bigger. If you look at like the satellite photos back in the 60s, 50s, whatever, there was like little mobile trailers. Now there's a lot bigger facilities that have been built there. So you can see the satellite photos online.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that interesting, but it's there.
Might interest me.
It definitely might interest you. So there was a lot of different planes that were tested there. So there's a lot of people that say that the UFO sightings around the area may have been due to them, because at that point it was never acknowledged as a government facility. So it could have been testing planes at nighttime that have, because a lot of them were spy planes.
Like experimental stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that could have been a reason, because if people looked up like, well, what was going on last night, there wouldn't be anything to show. So a lot of the stuff that's publicly available is really based on, like when you look it up, you're going to see a lot about the different spy planes, because that was what was released in the big data release that made it a public thing in 2013. So they talk about those things pretty publicly. And
is that just misinformation, though?
I mean,
to distract us from the fact that they have aliens there in spaceships?
Potentially. And that's where, like, when you think about the worker who worked there, you know, what would his intent and purpose be in saying that there's experiments going on there? Who knows? You don't know. That's why everyone's going to rate it and knock it down on the 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that if they did have secrets there, they've already moved them out just in case.
So
in the night, they've moved them somewhere safer.
I just don't think they're that scared of anybody. So,
how many people would it take to be able to actually storm it?
The security.
Okay.
I'm going to help you prep up for this.
Okay. Thank you.
The perimeter of the base is marked out by orange posts and are patrolled by guards in white pickup trucks and camouflage fatigues. The guards are popularly referred to as camo dudes by enthusiasts. Really creative.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't give me much hope for humanity.
The guards are I already said that. Just kidding. The guards will not answer questions about their employers. However, according to New York Daily News, there are indicators that they are employed through a contractor. So it's like a contracted
out so they're service. Not like part of the military. Mm-mm. They're like Phoenix Security.
Yep, yep. So signage around the base perimeter advises that deadly force is authorized against trespassers. So they can legally use deadly force against you if you trespass.
Well, I think that's why the whole they thing was shoot you. Yes. If they get enough people, like they can't shoot everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can. They're the military.
I'm just saying that was the reasoning behind, like, let's do this mass show of
do people know force. That there's like locks on doors, codes, secret entry? Like,
I think they're thinking if you have a million people, you can just lean on the door and it would be like a Walking Dead situation where the fence eventually comes down.
Yeah, I think a third of them are going to be killed up front. Easy. And then like the rest of them will be killed by backup by the time they push in the door. And then the aliens will kill the rest. So it doesn't really matter. And what's funny too is I think everyone's memes is like this alien, like E.T. version alien.
Oh, your worst nightmare. Best friend.
Yeah. So, but really, it could be something, if it were like UFO alien-ish, it could be something like in a microbe petri dish. Like it could be not that exciting. It could be just an object, an unknown object that they found and can't classify.
And all the people would come in and get their germs all over it and probably kill it. They'd breathe all over the petri dish and that would be it.
They'd be like, oh, this is it? Yeah, yeah, it's not that cool. It's not as cool as your life isn't that cool. I'm sorry. Sorry, not a good Instagram photo.
I'm going to be watching the September 20th, see what happens. That's why I put on interested. Just so I could like get the updates, it'd be in my feed.
So some of the UFO and conspiracy theories that kind of go along with Area 51 is that it is used as a storage, examination, and reverse engineering of crashed alien spacecraft, including material supposedly recovered at Roswell, the study of their occupants, and the manufacturing of aircraft based on alien technology. So they're saying that a lot of the aircraft that's made there for spying is based on alien technology. There's also that meetings or joint undertakings with extraterrestrials happen there. So like it's a I don't know.
A meetup?
Yeah, like a pod fest, but with aliens and our government, because that sounds like it would happen.
That sounds super fun.
The development of exotic energy weapons for the Strategic Defense Initiative or other weapons programs. The development of weather control.
You know why they say that, though, so they can always fall back on the old it was a weather balloon story. They're not fucking studying the weather there.
Yep. The development of time travel and teleportation technology.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah. So one of the random things I was looking at talking about before this, just because it was interesting, but it wasn't long enough to do a whole thing about. But this guy from the 19th century disappeared. Family didn't know what happened to him. And then he, in the 20th century, apparently appeared in the middle of a street, got hit by a car and killed. But like wearing all like the same clothes, he had money from that era. He had his ID, same person, like.
That's the kind of stuff that keeps me up all night on YouTube, like watching stuff like about that.
Yeah, there's really nothing else like of substance there, but I thought it was interesting.
I know, there's so many good topics that there just isn't enough information to make it a whole thing.
As well, and then the other one is the development of exotic propulsion systems related to the Aurora program. So a lot of shadowy, dark things going on that people don't know about. There's also claims of a transcontinental underground railroad system, a disappearing airstrip, picknamed the Cheshire Airstrip after Lewis Carroll's Cheshire Cat.
Oh, see how everything is connected?
Which briefly appears when water is sprayed onto its camouflaged asphalt, an engineering-based alien technology.
What did it say on the license plate of the car in Back to the Future? It's a trivia question.
I don't know.
Audience?
I couldn't hear your mumbling.
Oh my God, I hate you. I knew this podcast was going to be the end of our relationship.
I mean, through my drunk haze, I couldn't understand your
argument. The license plate of the car in Back to the Future? What did it say?
I think it said honk if you're horny.
Why did I even ask them?
Thanks, Dad.
We have the worst audience on the planet.
Yeah, jeez.
1984 or whatever.
Really? You guys are the generation that should know what that is. It's really disappointing. I'm disappointed right now.
I can tell you what.
If you don't know it, then you probably shouldn't talk.
In a really weird position on his bed. I was like, oh, I slept like that.
Why do you remember his position in the bed, but you don't remember the license plate?
I don't think we should engage with them anymore because they're clearly
I'm just gonna fight
asleep.
With them.
Not even paying attention.
So oh on the Facebook thing, it says Storm Area 51. They can't stop us all.
When
and
we do the
Podfest,
let's
see
not,
them aliens.
Let's not invite them.
That's how it was before. This was your idea.
Oh, are they?
My
oh, they're looker-upping
out.
Things.
Yeah. Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
Out of time.
I knew it was something like totally 80s-ish.
Now tell me what that has anything to do with what we were just talking about.
Because you're talking about time travel.
Oh, a while ago.
And it made me think of flux capacitors. And then it made me think of Back to the Future and Michael J. Fox and his Calvin Kleins. And I was wondering what the license plate said. I don't know.
I don't understand how your brain works, but...
You know, the synapses are a little twisted... In there.
Yeah, it's a little twisted in there.
Bend the knee. Chain your flexion. Bend the knee.
I don't know what he's saying.
Just block them out.
I don't I can't.
There's so
hear
many
his
more
muscling.
Plants.
No,
it's just you
want me to move the plants. That's not a fern. It's a bromeliad.
I know, but okay, you don't even know the show Between Two Ferns, but we were referencing it.
Yeah.
It
was
I know you didn't
it was
know.
A cultural reference. Paul.
He doesn't know any references. Shh, pipe
that.
Down.
I know that what you're talking about. But
do you?
Do you?
Who's in
I
it?
Do, but I noticed that's a bromeliad now.
I'm doing my close your mouth puppet hand.
You're being called. That looked like a...
Can somebody please take away his second bottle of wine? Jesus Christ. Let's just continue.
It's closing the sphincter and the mouth is the same thing.
Ooh. Can we not compare a sphincter to a mouth? Though.
It's relatable.
Though that actually ties into something that I forgot to talk about that after your topic I want to talk about, which is Stranger Things 3.
It is after my topic and I did watch Stranger Things.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Not
did you finish
last,
your topic?
Not yeah.
You didn't watch the very last one?
No.
Then I can't even speak to it. Are you kidding me?
I have been
are
working.
You kidding me?
I've been dying. What are you talking about? I've had no time. I've been dying. And then I caught up.
Shh. Stop talking out there. Let's not invite Paul next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I sometimes think the Stranger Thing monster, not like the big monster, but like the monster that...
But
the
one
school.
That attacked the house or
the one,
school?
It kind of has like a flower slash
yeah.
sphincter
mouth,
head.
Where it's like, with all
yeah.
the teeth.
That's the only time you want to combine mouths and sphincters.
So just because I
want to
make my dad
too.
Uncomfortable. Have you ever seen the like B-rated horror movie called The Toothed Vagina?
No. The what?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Toothed Vagina.
Toothed?
Yeah.
Like teeth?
Oh, no, wait. Sorry. It's called Teeth. It's called Teeth, but it's about a toothed vagina. It's really scary.
A vagina with teeth?
Yeah, it's a. Oh. It's like a. She gets infected by something, and then she starts killing men with her toothed vagina.
Huh.
Yeah.
My father may have been divorced 3 times, so I've been through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's experienced the toothed vagina.
I know, and he's wary now. He's smart.
He's
wary. Smart man. Smart
it's good
man.
To be wary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once bitten, twice shy, or thrice bitten, thrice shy.
Yep, he didn't learn fast enough.
All right,
that's
are you done with
I
yours?
Yeah, that's everything.
I can't believe you didn't watch the last episode because I really, really want to talk about it.
I've been
it's
really
so important
it.
To my heart and soul and life. We've all watched it, the whole thing. You're the only
my
one.
My dad hasn't watched any of it.
No, I went like this. Okay. Those three.
All right, well, you just keep that to yourself then.
I will, until next time. Mm-hmm. Oh, until next time.
Until next time.
Watch the goddamn last episode of Stranger Things 3, Macy. And also, practice your Naruto run.
Done.